You know, I went to Benin to go and do something a few days ago. One of my friends told me that, when you meet this particular man, so and so place, the man is nasty, he's bad, he doesn't cooperate, nothing. I heard the man is a very, very difficult person. So I was about to agree. Getting ready to meet a difficult man. Suddenly something inside me said, what do you mean by that? I said, Lord, I get the point. He will show me favor. Just watch. How can he be a difficult man? He can't be. Now, in the realm of the spirit, that I agreed he can't be difficult with me. He said, he could just give you the letterhead to go and do this, but the man will not agree. I said, no. In my heart, I said, no, he will agree. Let me cut the long story short. When I entered, I was introduced to him. He said, this is my in-law from Enugu. The man said, Oga's in-law. Oh, now, wow. You know, like, you're welcome, sir. I said, very good. You cooperate with me. You will cooperate. The paper they said he wouldn't give me. He said, do you think you need that paper? He went and brought a bundle. He said, okay, maybe you should go and... they said you wouldn't give me this paper. At the end, I ended up not taking it because he and I now reasoned that it wouldn't be necessary. So I now returned it to him. I told my friend later, I said, do you know the man handed me a bundle of that stuff? Listen, the time that God will be ready... Look, when God's breath will blow to make the grass and the flower blossom on your behalf, the hardest man won't know why he's doing you a favor. You are getting the point I'm making? I'm talking about, you know, I said that we're going to talk about servants of a new order. I'm going to get there. Because what God wants is all the rubbish in the world. He said, if you don't bribe the man, he won't do anything. What we are trying to, this is what I want to introduce. That we won't bribe anybody. And they will kill themselves to be nice to us. Let me tell you, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ again. The last, when he was going to pray for the supper, he said, go there. You will find the cult tied there. He said, bring it for me. Let me explain what it means. He said, go there. You will find maybe a Nisana mother parked there. Do you understand my point? The key will be in the mouth. Open the door and drive it down. And when they say, what are you doing? He said, the master has need of it. And they'll say, okay, no problem, you can have it. Bring it back when you are through. No payment, no begging, nothing. Just say, the master has need. What am I going to say? Because in the realm of the spirit, movement had occurred that said, this thing, no, it must be done. Don't say, Charles Soludo does not want to license new banks. The day you want to open your own finally, whether it's Charles Soludo or the successor, they will suddenly look and say, do we even think we have enough banks? I think we need new ones. He will say that a day before you come to his office and say, oh God, we need... I say, yes, we're just thinking of issuing new licenses. Then after they've registered yours, and one or two after, then the man will go and say, I think there are too many, sir. The next people that come and say, we're not doing it again. What happened? But he said, that was then. We have changed our minds again. It was the breath of the Lord blowing. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Yes, that's the way it is. It's the breath of God blowing. And that's what I want to explain. These things happen, you know, that's what God wants us to, you know, walk up to a particular level that such power and authority, they are given. Remember what I was trying to explain? That is when you have seen the way God is seen, when you have discovered, and I said the way you begin to see, you come out from the presence of God by his word. The ideas jump into your head. You know what you are doing? You are seeing God's ideas. Write them down. Don't let them go. And begin to sleep over them. Don't let any Satan persuade you that it's not doable. How will you do it? I don't know yet. But at least we know of one thing for sure. We will do it. Do you get my point? Remember our favorite scripture from Isaiah 34. It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this will fail. Neither will any lack its mate. He said, because whenever the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit will go out and it will gather. That's a matter of fact. There's no begging. So once God has commanded, his spirit has gone out. Do you get my point? So just wait patiently. Eventually, you open. Look, you think God, when you say that this man is worth $200 billion, you think he woke up one day and said, gathering $1 after the other, $1 after the other? No, not at all. The man just had ideas. And he woke up and said, we can do this thing. Hey, you, we can do this. He said, you really think you can do it? Okay, please, here is $1 million. Start doing it. Everybody will contribute. At the end of the day, say, this man is so rich. How much is he worth? He's also, he has done it. Wow. He's a great man. Go and check. There are so many soldiers God sent to go and enthrone David. How many people do you think David fought? After killing Goliath, David was not exactly killing many people. After killing Goliath, he was just leading people about. He was a shepherd. Do you know that's what he was? There's anointing of this man. We have heard that you are the one God anointed. Everybody started pouring down their weapons before him. And so God just point in one direction and they are all dead. I used to think David was a very big and strong man. I found out later that he wasn't. Then Joab and co were the strong men. When you saw those men around David, you will fear David. You will wonder, what is he using to command these people? Remember one joke? I don't know whether it really happened, but I think it really happened. That was many years ago in Oyo, and the Oyo kingdom. I think it was an alafin of Oyo. That one day his wife was giving him a bath, and the woman said, "Oga, my husband, why everybody does they fear you like this? Not be the whole of you at the CISO." The man said, "What did you say?" He said, "I was just wondering when you come, and everybody will be trembling." He said, "And this is all of you now. You pass like this." The man said, "Okay, let me show you why they are all afraid of me." He told his men to go and bring her father's head. But as she came out, her father's head was on a platter. So you see why everybody is afraid of me. Now, are you getting what I'm making? That is, so it's not that you are personally strong we're talking about. It's that when you do like this, men fly. Because God has made them subject themselves to you. That's what we're talking about. No, don't get ready for strength to struggle. No. Get ready for people to work for you. Do you follow my point? Labor, you know, I thank God in life for good jobs and high-paying jobs. But do you know that for every naira that somebody pays you, he's earning 10? For the interim, take it. Work for labor. And get ready to learn how to cut your poplar trees. Do you follow my point? Yes. You can work for Laban for now. No, nothing wrong with it. But don't think that, Father, I thank you for this house of Laban. In fact, I will just die in Laban's house. Nah, lie. There's one inheritance you must lay hold of. Do you get my point? All the labor you have labored for Laban is coming back to your house. You are getting my point? But you must get ready to receive it. That's what we're talking about. It's not by strength. No. We are saying that once the mouth of God commands, his spirit will go out and it will what? Gather. Please get that point. That's what we are describing. Well, I said you should open to Isaiah chapter what? Chapter 2. I think I should. No, I've not finished John chapter 5. I've not finished John chapter 5. Let's continue. So what was all this thing I'm trying to say is that it's when you have seen, it's in direct proportion to what you are able to see that authority is released into your life. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's in direct proportion. The more you see, the more God commands authority towards you. And that's what he said here. He said the son sees everything that the father is doing. And whatever the son sees, that's what he does also. And for that reason, read further down from verse 21. He said, "For as the father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the son gives life to whom he wills." Please get what I'm saying. Oh, I said we should look at this thing beyond the ministry of Jesus Christ alone. That is the way he ministered. I'm talking about Nigeria at this time because of the economic development and pull out from decadence that we are going to experience. So that's why I say some of these things. He said, "Whosoever the son loves wills." I like this guy. Why should he be dead? Wake him up. Whatever it will take, wake him up. Lazarus, in quote, was the hardest. So he reserved the death of Lazarus to prove a point. If I can raise Lazarus, I can raise anybody up. Now, a man will get to a place in life. They say the company is dead. They say, "I like that company. They made the first car I ever used." Wake them up. You don't get my point. What are you doing with the company? Nothing. It's just that they made the first car I drove. And I like the car so much, they shouldn't die. Wake them up. So God, they are so far down. I say, "What will it take? Move $1 billion and wake them up." That's what we're talking about. He said, the father, look, father can give life. He says, now the son gives life to whosoever. He said, "This school used to be so glorious." I said, "Which school?"
He said, that school? Ah, that was my primary school. Ah, the school is dead. He said, wake it up. The school is dead. No. It cannot die. Whoever the son wills, he gives life to. I like that school. I said, be alive. You come back in 2 years, you see buildings, you see teachers, you see pupils. See, this school was dead until this man pointed his finger in his direction. So he was here. They said, no. He said he has authority. He can say to this one, go, that one, come. He didn't even come near. He was from 100 kilometers, he has woken the school up. We just send him reports annually. This is how we are doing. They said, I know that company had to close because they are no longer making profit. He said, which company? Ah, that was the one that my father worked for and was able to pay our fees when we're going to school. Wake up! You can't die. He said, why? I just like the company. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, the son gives life to whosoever he wills. And please, that's what I'm beginning to teach. To attain divine authority. So that, look, all this one we are saying, Nigeria is this, Nigeria is that. Listen, God will give you and I the authority. We look and say, what kind of joke of a president it is? Remove him! And in 1 week, you know, the way they do it abroad, everybody sins, you know, all have sinned. So the day judgment wants to come for one person, they take one of the sins that they know everybody commits. Like the mayor of New York. Is it the governor of New York? And just say, okay, we know they talked before, but you have offended. We knew you were sinning, but we left you. Just take the sin and remove it. Whatever reason, you just say, we don't like this man. The cause of this country, we don't like it. It should be a different cause. We make the declaration. Now, get my point. Look, I think I can now get back to what I was saying. Don't forget, it's the extent, we're going to discuss that again, to which you are able to see, not complain, not strive, not work hard, but the extent to which you are able to what? See. That is what decides how much authority is given to you. If a man has seen something, you know, I said something before, that is not how hard you shout when you are praying or how long you pray. No, it's not how loud a man shouts that shows that he has authority. No. It's either he has it or he does not. If a man without, you know, you've seen it before. especially all these guys who walk in front of banks trying to, you know, they'll come to the center of the road and throw their red flag, telling you to stop. You go, you'll blow past them. You know, security guard for the bank, you're not the policeman. Come on, go away from there. No matter how big he is, because he doesn't have the authority, he's just begging you. So if you are nice enough, you will slow down. Uh-huh. But if a policeman were to come out there, or a traffic warden, and he does like this, no matter how small he is, he just does like this. Because he has the authority. You are getting the point. It's not his size. It's that once you see his uniform, and you see the white gloved hand up, you know it means stop. You get my point? Because he has the authority. That's what we are saying. It's not about shouting. It's about having it. That's what I'm describing. And the man that has it, has it. And when he has it, he just utters. Sometimes not even with any conscious power on his part. Like Jesus looking for fig on a tree and not finding fig on that tree. Just looks a nonsense tree. And he walked away. And the tree really became nonsense. Let me tell you the truth. That was a strength in the words of Jesus. He would not have noticed that tree were it not that Peter called his attention to it. When he was talking to the tree, he was not trying really to do anything. He was just angry. He said, this kind of useless tree. What are you doing here? Get away. Die, Joe. You know, this one will shout, it's not good, better for you. If Jesus couldn't say it to anybody, if Jesus told anybody, no good, better for you, that fellow is dead. There's no remedy. Jesus said, no good, better for you. There is not possible for you to have it better for you in life. All this one will shout is because there's nothing inside. And we said we know. That's why we say it to everybody. Say it to your friends. Say it to your child. Say it to your cousin. You say it to everybody. You even say it to NEPA that you want to bring light for you. Say this NEPA. Say it. No go better for you now. How you yourself know there's no power in your mouth. That's why you run it anyhow. If there was something in you, you wouldn't talk anyhow. You would be afraid. I said one day a man annoyed me. I was so grieved that day. I don't think I was wrong. The way I felt, I looked at the man and I drove off. My chief said, what was that? I said, chief, if I answered that man, he would die.
and I didn't want him to die. He so grieved me to the depth of my heart. I said, if I answered him, that man would die. So because I didn't want to kill him, I just stared at him, put my car in gear, and drove off. Are you getting the point I'm making? Or the one of running your mouth. You say, no, say nothing did there. Nothing. But what are we describing? That there is something a man does. You know, Jesus was sitting down one day. James and John came to him. He said, grab that will sit on your left and your right in your kingdom. You know what that means? There were positions like that. Jesus didn't say, these boys, you have come again. Get away, we're all equal before God. Did he say that? He didn't say that though. He said, you want to sit on my left and on my right? All right, now, let's settle the matter. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized? That is, he was telling them in effect, those positions have qualifications. You have to meet the qualifications before we consider you for the post. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're talking about walking in divine authority because left and right is not just a matter of physical position. It had to do with authority. To explain it in summary, the way I like to do it is that Joseph was the right hand of Pharaoh. So when God said, sit at my right hand until there was something that he was saying. And if you remember that the authority of Jesus Christ, the one that the church is using, what it means is execute judgment for me until you have effectively put all your enemies under your footstool. Maybe I will try and just round this off and begin again from this Isaiah chapter 2 next time. Because it said from verse 1, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is the word from verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Now he said, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. This is God's plan. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Later, I'm going to read from verse 5. He said, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let me stop in verse 5. Later, we'll continue again from verse 6. But why have I read this? The plan of God is that the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Remember, we refer to Luke chapter 10, when the Lord, the master of the household, went out to go and receive a kingdom to himself, and then he gave minas, my Bible uses that expression, New American Standard, to his servants, and said, do business with this until I come. That is, he went out to take kingdoms, and he wanted to put men in authority. But before that, he had to test them to see the amount of authority they could handle. Please get what I'm saying. The man who went to receive kingdoms had soldiers to take the kingdoms. What he wanted was people that would give commands to the soldiers. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, God has enough resources, enough angels to take care of everything. He just wants people in charge to tell them what to do. You are getting the point? But he needed to demonstrate what the people were able to do. How much of that authority each person could handle. So he gave them money and said, do business with this one until I come. The point I'm making from there is this. It's the same thing Isaiah chapter 2 here is saying. This is God's plan. That God will take over all the kingdoms of this earth. Are you getting me? Please, there's another thing I want to bear in mind. That with God, this is the way it works. When we talk about Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he said, and the Lamb will overcome because he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He said, those that are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. What was he saying? When he said those who are with him, he said King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is, he was saying that the reason he will overcome is because he has trained people who are with him. Do you get my point? That is, he has many kings, because he said the 10 kings will give their power and their authority to the beast. He said, but the Lamb will overcome them. Why? Because he also has power and authority from his own kings and his own lords. You know the reason? Because to war a warfare effectively on the earth, you must be a son of man. I don't know whether you get my point. You must be somebody on the earth. And what Jesus did was to gather all his power that he took when he rose up from the dead, and he gave it to his church. He said, let them effectively use it. And you will discover that as a result of that, we will overcome the whole world in reality. Because at the beginning, he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, to demonstrate that for people to see, he requires the kings and the lords that are working with him. Do you get my point? Now, he now said, this is the purpose. Now, these people, he said, of the increase, you know, he said in Isaiah, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Now, there's a principle we must clearly understand about spiritual things. When God was taking the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, I will not drive the people out from before you in one day. He said, because if I did, let me summarize, the land will become unproductive. Because to every wicked man, God has given the responsibility of laboring. Labor, you know, when you sin, they say 5 years imprisonment with hard labor. Labor is for a wicked man. Do you get what I'm saying? For the sinner, God has given him labor. So God said, until my people come out to take the land, I want people there to labor. He now said, but this time I'm going to drive them out. I will drive them out as you increase. You will increase and say, I need more land. God said, go and take that one. Then you will drive them out and find that the land was productive. Look, don't be scared. They said that, you see, all these unbelievers are just getting results. They must get results. It's God's order. They must get results. They're supposed to till the land until you get there. They must get results. They must not run down the land. They must get results. Do you get my point? Yeah. Look, children of God, listen to me. It's not only children of God that will make companies grow. Get my point? There are people that must labor until you are of age to take over. Now, oh God, see, some of these things. You know, if you listen to me on radio, talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity, one of the things I said that opens the door for you is for you to think like God. The major problem we had with the gospel of prosperity is that people misinterpreted what prosperity was. A man came one day, had a program in church, and he was joking. And I don't know where he came from. And he was talking about, you must learn how to give. Oh. You must learn how to give. I was a young man. I don't know where he came from. Just gave, he had like 5 minutes to talk. He said, look, last week now, I gave out. Let's assume he gave out his stool. I don't know whatever joke he was it that he gave out. That this week, somebody's making me furniture. Amen? Amen? And they're looking at the fellow like, what is wrong with this one? He said, look at your life. You're not learning to give. See, one brother gave out this. Now he has this. I said, yay. This guy is ignorant. I said, the people I know here, they don't talk about, I gave out this and I got this. He said, last year, I had only 5 employees. This year, I have 15. The Lord is good. The man telling you that is striking. You are getting the point I'm making? He said, last year, I was only able to pay fees for 2 people. But I thank God that this year, I've been able to pay for 8. He has not changed the suit on his shoulders. Now, you are getting the principle of what I'm saying. That is, I was talking. I said, this man doesn't understand what we're calling prosperity. Ah, praise God. I used to trek before. I don't trek anymore. Oh, joke. Listen. Paul said it clearly. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. What is all of this? Before, my soup didn't have to have more than 1 little piece of fish. Now, he has a bokoto inside. He has this. How has that improved your doing of the will of God? Only. Thief. It does it in any form. No, that is why people eat their future. You are building a company. The first thing you go and buy a car that you are paying 100,000 naira a month. You are trying to build a company. What's wrong with Okada? This one that they're sending you 50,000 naira. Buy 2. Train yourself. Buy crash helmet. You will get anywhere. They say corporate image. Around nonsense. Around nonsense. If a man that gets results walk up to your company half naked, you will employ him. Yes, sir. What just means that I'm properly dressed, corporately dressed. You see some, I watch some of these people. You see their rough hair. Some of the best producers of music in the world. They don't even remember about self. They want to shake your hand. You tremble to take that hand. That has nothing to do with the suit. If a man with power wears suit, it is good. Without the suit, it's just as powerful. You get the principle? Why you need to suit to show you have power is that you really don't have it yet. You need the suit to talk for you. Your works, they are not yet talking for you. No, I believe in looking good. No, God knows I love looking good. For me, it's a divine assignment to look good. It's good, I believe it. But listen, though, it doesn't increase the anointing at all. It doesn't. I'm happy it's mostly on radio I preach. They don't know what I look like. They don't. R.W. Schambach used to say that certain people thought he was black because he was mostly a radio evangelist. And he used to scream and shout, and it was typical of black preachers. So they thought he was a black preacher. Then they'll say, "Oh, what? You mean you're white?" You know, that is, it doesn't change anything. What am I going to explain? There was one company those days in Lagos, they were having serious problems. When they now took money from bank, they went to buy the best cars. They said corporate image. I said, yeah. The people were owing their staff 3-4 months salary. They didn't use that one to pay. They used it to buy cars to show that they were there so that they would get adverts. They were a media company. It's not necessary. Are you getting my point? You know, I veered into that trying to explain the principle. There are people misunderstanding prosperity. They think you need to show somebody that you are prosperous, that your gospel is working. You get my point? Instead of you to build your company well, you have decided that to show that we have done well, you go and buy a brand new car. You know what I mean? Now put the logo of your company beside it. Very good. When the banks want to shut you down, they have a precious possession to collect. You know the interesting thing I like about life? Eh? You know, those days used to tell me that you don't wear socks on native. You know that? Do you ever hear it? I'm one person. I wear socks. Look at me. I wear socks. I run nonsense. I do. No. You know what I used to say? Why do we wear socks? You yourself know why we wear socks. It's comfortable. It makes your shoes easier. It doesn't hurt your feet and then it is cooler most of the day. I said, where is it written in the Bible that you cannot wear socks on it? I said, it's because you are not an important person. I said, in my life, I've made up my mind I will be important. Therefore, I will tell people how to dress. I won't copy them. Anything I wear will become fashion. Just watch it. Yes. That is where I wear my socks with my native with pride. You won't see me without socks. Never. In Jesus' name, may you not see me wearing shoe without socks. Whether I'm wearing native or aborigine or whatever. I wear my socks because it makes my feet feel better. It's the will of God to wear a cover shoe with a cloth lining. It's called socks. This is the point I'm making. If you're an important man, you tell people how to wear their shoes. I mean, if you build your company well, not your men are riding bikes. Before you know what's happening, you start like the people will start say, "Look, when you start a company, first buy 5 bikes. It makes you faster. You know, you can wheel." No, they suddenly start finding the explanation for your success. No, that's the way it works. You now say, "You see the time." You suddenly start calculating the time inside traffic. Before you bought your bikes, they did not. They were talking about corporate image. Then after you succeeded with your Okadas. So then they realize that, okay, the reason must be because the men didn't used to waste time in traffic. They used to move from one place to the other quickly. They had this special helmet that used to make their brain cool all the time. All that one is just to explain the man's salvation. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, I told myself, no, in life, I will set the pace, not following nobody's pace. Look, how many places have you been to in life, as a matter of fact? When they want to do program, nobody sings first. Yes. I never saw anybody do it. I just told myself, I'm teaching. I'm not singing. I'm not leading praise worship. Nothing. So when you come for Kingdom World activities, we pray for about 5 to 10 minutes, and I take the Bible and I start teaching. At the end, we close. Just watch it. In a few years, you will see the thing all over town. You will see it all over town. Dare to be yourself. You get my point? Dare to walk with God into success. You will be amazed at how well people will start writing about that principle, how it works. Not the principle that works. It's a man that succeeded. Everything he does after that is correct. Say, you know that man, he never used to wake up early. He used to sleep late into the morning so that his brain would be refreshed. Well, and the other one I joke is because he has done well. If he didn't do well, they said, don't mind him. He used to sleep so much. His mates are awake at 5. He's still sleeping at 7. Please, you are getting the praise of what I'm ready to say. There's a reason why I'm saying, reading all of these things. So he said, for the Lord, Isaiah chapter 2. That's what I'm trying to explain. He said, the law, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The point I'm making is this, talking about those kingdoms. What God wants is for us to establish, I was talking about the increase of his government and of peace, that there shall be no end. Talking about the fact that before the people increased, all right, what happened was God allowed the people outside the covenant to labor for them. Are you getting my point? But as people increase, then he will not convert the land into the hands of the people. And I was saying that the problem is that people misunderstood the purpose of prosperity. Are you getting me? And let me summarize again, like I said at the beginning, that the aim of Christianity is so that we can deputize for God. Again, I want to say it. The aim of prosperity is so that we can establish righteousness on the earth. Did you hear what I said? That the aim of what? Prosperity is so that we can establish righteousness on the earth. That is all the nonsense that go out is saying. In fact, I heard it down that, some banks, then I hope they don't do it anymore. They take all the fine young girls, put them into marketing. Saying in effect, I don't care how you do it, your target is 100 millionaire. Do you get the point I'm making? I don't care. If you have to sleep with allergy, I don't care. Just make sure you meet your target. You know, there are things you will do unconsciously, whether you like it or not. The Bible says, he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Yes, it's a matter of fact. They will. That you may say that, no, we're not telling them to do anything. But behind your mind, you are telling people, look, you get my point? You want to use sex appeal to get your deposits. He that sows to the flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. There's a particular table wine. When you're going downstairs, you'll see the advert. When I saw the advert, I said, if it is because of this advert, I will never drink this wine. Because they have a new bottle. And they wrapped a woman with a small cloth. And the girl said, do you want to unwrap me? I said, let me tell you, that is unrighteousness. I don't know whether I get my point. You put the posters all over town. It is called unrighteousness. Let me summarize because I want to end now. One of the reasons things we do with prosperity. A prosperous man can decide that this is unrighteous. Therefore, this wine is not going to sell in this town. It's simple. That you no, that is by the time we are through, the ones that we sell are the ones that we show a family on the table. A loyal husband and faithful wife with obedient children beside them, eating dinner and with the wine being poured into a glass for the adults only. And the boys say, when I grow up, I will drink wine like daddy. That they say, this is the only wine that we sell. Once you show one half-naked woman there, in Jesus' name, it will not sell. Then tobacco come, they will come and say, Nigerians know when to think Nigerian. British American tobacco. I say, may God punish you. The land upon which you are situated, the people that did the advert, the MD, let mercy be shown only to those who are addicted to your bad products. How can you tell me foreign direct investment? It is tobacco. May God punish all of you. Who connived? Go and ask my students. I tell them all the day in class. Because cigarette is not a spiritual sin. It is a sin against your body. I'm a pathologist, in case you did not know. I can count for you without having to shake my head 20 diseases. First, 10 that are directly caused by that thing. And another 10 that it's associated with. And how it complicates so many things in life. And I can't tell you one good thing. After all my years of practicing as a doctor, I don't know one good thing that it does. Not one. It was connived in hell. Executed by demons using the instruments of satanic agents who call themselves human beings and marketing agents. one of the things we do, righteousness, we shut them down. We don't need your money. Go and invest your tobacco company in your apostate nation. Don't bring it here. You are getting my principle. Yes, those are the things we do with righteousness. I deposit $1 billion in a bank, and one day I see two half poorly dressed girls coming to market me. They don't know I'm the one who has so much money there. I will call the MD. I said, I want the director, the ED in charge of marketing. I want him sacked now. He said, what do you mean, sir? I said, I will discuss after you've sacked him. He said, sir, I said, you are not sacking him, no problem. I withdraw my money. Your bank is distressed instantly. He said, sir, what do you mean? This is righteousness. It's righteousness. He said, I found out that you guys are now using sex appeal to drag money into the bank where my money is. I said, you know, you are doing the Achan principle. Do you understand my point? You're about to bring judgment over my establishment. Therefore, like Phinehas, I shall draw my sword and kill you sharp, sharp. You are getting my principle. Listen, that's what we do with prosperity. The other day, Prince Owe was in our church. I know the man had his very, you know, I enjoyed his ministration. That was this Valentine program that we had in church. And one day he said something very interesting. Is anybody here that has been sleeping with sugar daddies and sugar mommies to pay through school? Come forward. So I'm not going to pray for you. I just want you to come forward. At the end, he said, okay, anybody who will say that this will don't need to do it anymore to come forward. That is, we'll use money to legislate righteousness. You are getting what I mean? That's the aim of prosperity. Not the size of your car has changed. May it catch fire. If that's, no, really, really. It's a very serious prayer. If that's all you think prosperity is, may it catch fire. May you be saved. Let only the car burn. That you will understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You are getting what I'm trying to say? I mean, you know, it amazes me. People want to, you know, anyway, like I said, you know, bank, what are you doing? We'll get back to it. I want to close now. That Isaiah chapter 2. My job is that I want, and I've thought about it. Bank, what exactly are you trying to do? What is it on this earth that you are trying to do? I just told myself, my job is simple. I want to teach the people the fear of God. Are you getting my point? So we have to reorient people's minds, how they think. We'll talk about it. Let's listen. Authority is given to you as soon as your mind and God's mind moves in the same frequency. Look, let nobody tell you stories. I like the way we introduce the way of success. He said, it's the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. That is, listen, the principles of God, the divine order, will always triumph over every other one. The problem is that people are not yet using it. Go and read from that Isaiah chapter 2, from that verse 6 down. He called Zion, let us walk in the light of the Lord. He said, because you are forsaking your people. Why? Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they have become soothsayers like the Philistines. They think the way of the world works. And of course, it gives them temporary results. But we are saying that the will of God gives permanent results and better results that leads, the Bible says, unto eternal life. I hope you've gotten my point.